Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The new employment numbers for the month of April are out. 539, that's the number, 539,000 jobs cut, the fewest in 6 months. It's less than economists expected. That's good. But what's not good is that the unemployment rate climbed to 8.9%, up 0.4 points from the month before. That's what economists predicted. Now, of course, that number is much higher for a lot of different groups, including African Americans and Latinos and young people. Dan Gross, columnist for Newsweek and Slate, is in East Lansing, Michigan right now. And thanks for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what exactly these numbers reveal. What strikes you?
Well, again, what strikes me is the fact that we lost 530,000 plus jobs, and people are saying, hey, that's pretty good news. You know, in a normal universe where our economy is creating jobs, any job loss is bad news. Our labor force and our population are always expanding, so we need to create jobs just to keep up with that. But given what we've been through, the 600,000, 700,000 per month job loss in recent months, people are latching on to any signs that things are just not getting bad at the same pace they were, and this is an indication of that.
When you look at demographic subgroups, African-American unemployment stands officially at 15%, always been roughly double what white employment is. But, really, in some ways, the gap is shrinking a little bit just because everyone is hurting. What kinds of issues are facing different subgroups in America?
Well, you know, an economic downtime is when the disparities that are underlying our system really come to the fore. So that the, you know, during the expansion, the poor, the working class, minorities were not doing as well as everybody in the upper crust, especially people who had a lot of assets like stocks and houses that were appreciating. So it's not a surprise. And it shows that, we have serious underlying issues beyond simply, you know, getting interest rates low or getting banks lending again. If you have a population that has an unemployment rate of that magnitude, it calls for something, you know, more aggressive, something more systemic.
Well, not everybody is losing jobs. There are actually some bright spots around the country. We talked to Craig Royal, CEO of Royal United Mortgage in Indianapolis, and he's hiring.
We are finding that the economy is relatively strong, that we're seeing a tremendous opportunity for people to refi today and improve their financial conditions. And that's led us to hire. We've grown from 22 employees to 92 employees over the last 12 months.
Now, how unique is Craig's situation that he actually can afford to hire? I'm talking about businessmen and businesswomen being able to hire as opposed to fire.
Well, look, people are always hiring. They're always creating jobs. It's just that in recent months, the pace of job destruction has been far more rapid. One of the different things about this recession is that it's going on nationwide, but it's hitting the coasts the hardest. California and the New York area, where our leading industries, finance, media, et cetera, have plunged by 30-40%. When you get into the heartland, places like Indiana and Wisconsin, Iowa, where it was never that booming to begin with because they didn't have this debt-fueled real estate boom. They don't have investment banks that were creating these mega jobs. So they never got too high during the boom, so they're not getting too down during the bust. And I think when you go state by state, city by city even, and you look to cities that have different economic makeups, if you are in a state capital, you are not contracting 10% because government is pretty steady.
Dan, hold on, though. You're in a state capital, Lansing, Michigan. And in some ways, that's ground zero of the recession in the state of Michigan, which is having real difficult times with the auto industry. What are you seeing?
Well, ground zero would probably be more like Detroit, where almost everything revolves around the auto industry. In Lansing and East Lansing, where is the state capital, and Michigan State University, which is a gigantic Big Ten university, it doesn't go through periods where you suddenly decrease employment by 20%. Obviously, the state at large is directly impacted by the health of the auto industry, and that's not good. They're looking at lower funding for the university, potentially rising costs, and obviously the job market is not what it once was. But when you have different pillars that uphold the economy, and especially if they are government, education, and healthcare, which, you know, employment in those sectors in the last 6 months has actually risen nationwide, you just have a little more ballast.
Well, a lot of folks are going to be lining up to hear those graduation speakers. Do we have any sense of how people are going to fare as they enter the market straight out of college?
Well, clearly, this is the most challenging job market for graduating seniors, probably since the early 80s. The big companies that used to come and, you know, during good times would hire hundreds of people, they're just not out in force. Everybody is kind of battening down the hatches, restructuring, looking for growth overseas. And, you know, when you get to the business schools, the investment banks have just sort of stopped showing up.
You know, Dan, I heard an interesting stat the other day. I wonder if this is borne out, that if you actually worked in college in this environment, you're more likely to get a job if you're a graduate than if you, you know, took a full ride scholarship or didn't work your way through school.
Well, I would think that, you know, in this environment, people who have relevant work experience might have a leg up. It depends what you were doing with your time. If you were, you know, rather than working, were spending a lot of time doing the activities that some undergraduates do, then it might not have done you much good. If you were doing, you know, research and things like that in the laboratory, you know, maybe you do have a leg up.
One word. Just give me one word on what might turn this ship around in terms of stemming job losses.
Plastics. Oh, no, sorry, wrong graduate advice. Stability. I think the, you know, what we saw, especially last fall, with this kind of global market freakout, Lehman Brothers, all those companies failing, all of a sudden nobody wanted to invest, nobody wanted to spend, nobody wanted to do anything. We just got into this mode where we were stashing whatever cash we had under our mattresses, and we stayed in that mode for several months. Why?
Okay.
Because we had several months of this crazy instability. If we have a few months of relative stability, by which I mean, you know, non-catastrophic job losses, no mega institutions failing, signs that things are going okay, the stock market kind of muddling along, then I think
then we're going to
see people
get
more
back on
expansive.
Yep, Dan Gross, thanks so much, author of Dumb Money: How Our Greatest Financial Minds Bankrupted the Nation.